Welcome back to the Mix Files. Our guest this week is Bud Drumming, winner of 2 Canadian Country Music Awards, cool dude, fine drummer. Excellent supporter of Mixposure.com. And the dude can be funky. The Mix Files premieres a new interview each week of a Mixposure.com artist and premieres it on Saturday Night Rocks here on Mixstream Radio at Mixposure.com. I'm Cooter. Appreciate you stopping in. The Mix Files has its own page on Mixposure. Mixposure.com/Mix Files will get you there if you type that into your internet browser. Hope you enjoy the Mix Files. I know Bud and I had a good time doing it. Get yourself comfortable. Get yourself ready. Bud will talk about this tune that's playing right now in just a few minutes. You'll get to hear it again without me talking over it. Think I'll just shut up and let the rest of it play. Mix Files, Mixstream Radio, Mixposure.com, Saturday Night Rocks. I'm Cooter and this is all my fault. Thank you.
Yes, there's quite a few of them, actually.
Okay, all right, cool.
Oh, it's at the bottom here. Oh, Major Extreme was my first song that I wrote. That was my first one really stepping out.
Uh-huh.
And what how it all come about was when I first started learning to, you know, be an engineer or be a drum engineer, because I bought these electronic drums, and then I thought I was getting pretty good on them, but I said, hey, you know what, nobody can hear me. So I'd really like to learn how to record these drums, you know, so I can figure out how to do it. And then that way, at least I can do something. Instead, you know, I can play here all day, but if no one can hear me, you know, they're not going to know that I'm getting better as a drummer. Yeah. And so that's how I got started. And then I started getting into learning how to record the drums, which was a whole process in itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you start talking, when you said, just said you started getting into learning how to record the drums, you're talking about an acoustic set now, or are you still talking about the MIDI set?
I'm talking the MIDI set. I use Rollins.
Okay.
Now, when I record, I use, I've got like actually three sets that I use. I use my Roland set, and I use my acoustic set for some. And then I've got my percussion and congas and stuff. I use both. So I intertwine all of them all the time. Major Extreme was that was my bud kit. That was the first kit that I really... the trick is when you're using electronic drums is that you want to have your own drum sound.
Uh-huh.
If someone hears you, they want to go, oh, that's Bud's. I can tell that's Bud's drums.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you hear Dave's voice, right? Dave's
uh-huh.
voice. Oh, that's Dave's voice, right?
Yeah.
So the trick is, too, with the drums is you want to say, yeah, that I can tell that's Bud, you know, or by the way, drums. So you want to try to develop your own sound. If I use, I've got like 350 kits. If I use different kits all the time, you know, the listeners will get confused. there's some songs I do with Pharaoh when I write. I use sometimes Stars drums for some of his tunes, you know, like Restless Mind and Another Year. That was Ringo Starr's actually drum kit from the Apple Studios that I used on that.
Cool. So, and when you say Ringo Starr's drum kit, you're talking about the MIDI version of it?
That's correct.
Okay.
See,
yeah.
What Roland drums are is they're actually real drums. When I play them, they feel like real drums, but they're pads. Mm-hmm. But they're real sample drum sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're playing them, you're basically playing acoustic kit. But you have to change your technique a little bit. It's not like playing acoustic drums like if I'm doing a big show.
Mm-hmm.
But in concert, I use my MIDI drums depending where I'm playing, and I use my acoustic drums together sometimes, you know, and then I play the click track or whatever, depending on the show that I'm doing.
Cool.
Monday morning has hit me with a brick. I'm feeling down, I need a fix. Feels like a thorn has embedded in my side. All I really want is a place to hide. Too old to be young, too young to be old. I'm beginning to think there's more rocks to be rolled. What do you feel?
I don't know.
Do you think the end's near? No, I don't really think that much at all. What good does it do? Set there and stew. I suppose that it's good to look ahead.
Saturdays, which is you and Dazed and Wild Cherry and Saturated, isn't it?
That's correct. And that was when I was just learning to send files and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And actually with Wild Cherry, she's a really, really good bass player. And I was just learning to play online with the bass player. So like they sent me a track with the bass and then I learning to drum to her bass playing.
Uh-huh.
And then I really struggled with that. And we were working on a song there. And then I had Scotty come in and lay down a bass track, which is easier when Scotty's in the room to lay down the bass to the drums. But what I figured out was the best way online to actually really make sure that the drums and bass are really tight together is for me, like I should have done this, played to Wild Cherry's bass, right? I got it the best I could, and then have Wild Cherry redo her bass to my drums with the track.
Mm-hmm.
Make it tighter, right? Because mm-hmm. I was in trouble with timing, trying to, you know, do play along to it and hear at the same time. It was really a learning curve. But once I figured out how to do that, now I can play either way now. But back then I was really struggling with trying to get it to sound good and me not, because sometimes you do a roll, you're speeding up, you're slowing down, where they're, it's there just right there, right?
Uh-huh.
And I have to go back and try and, whoa, Kev, you got to slow down when you come to this part and do that. And sometimes with it, you can't, and then it would be really nice if the bass was there, because then the bass could be out with me a little bit too, and it would still sound right. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. If everybody really is following the drummer, and everybody stays with the drummer, provided the drummer doesn't carry the tempo, you know, from here to China and back, you can do a lot of things that, not only are they not noticeable as a mistake, they can add character to the song.
Change a thing. Just relax, it'll be over soon. Or should I take my time with you? Yeah, I think that's what I'm gonna do. Do I look like a serial killer? Dressed up in my suit and tie. Do I look like a serial killer? One of these days you might get to meet me. And you thought I was such a nice guy. It doesn't matter what you say. There's not a thing that you can do. Screaming won't help your case, 'cause no one's around to hear you. Sit right back so I can finish you.
How did you get into music?
Oh man, I was really, really young. Well, I was like really young, 8 or 10, and I was really lucky. I had a great career, you know. And I started out. I actually auditioned for the Canadian Sweethearts, and you would know them maybe in the States as Freight Train, Dominique. There's a few songs, a few, 3 or 4 major hits there. And I went and auditioned for the band, and the guy was credited, Bob Reagan, as one of the fastest guitar players in the world.
Wow.
And there was like 4 other drummers auditioning. And it was kind of a polka, you know, oompa, 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 oompa. And he goes, freight train, going so fast, freight train. Freight train, going so fast, freight train. And so you can hardly play it a fast polka. And Bob was smoking it anyways. And I watched the 3 drummers play before me, and each one of them couldn't cut it. You get to a certain part in the song and they get lost or trip up or screw up. And I sat down, and Bob, he looked at me, and we kind of had this thing going on, and he looked at me and I goes, "Well, what do you think there, Budster?" I said, "You know what, Bob?" I said, "You can play that song as fast as you want and I'll keep up to you." And he looked at me, and he's going, "What do you mean?" I go, "You just do your thing, buddy." I was giving him the cocky attitude that he was giving me, right? And we were laughing at each other as he was saying it, because I started grinning as I was telling him. And what I did is I just played a train on the snare. Instead of playing a polka, you know, I went doom, da doom, da doom, da doom. So I could drum roll as fast as he could play.
Yeah, there you go.
Kept my cool. Fast as he goes, it's basically it did a drum roll, you know.
Yeah.
And as fast as he goes, he couldn't trip me up, and he goes, "You got the gig."
Cool.
And so I toured with him and Salmadon Connors and did a few other things, and then there's a whole thing. It goes on and on and on, but that's how I got started anyways.
How about the Robert Smith Backyard Blues with special guests Bud Drumming and Limey Luke?
That was one of the first jazz things that I did. And that Robert got such an incredible guitar player. And what happened was we were in the studio. I was doing a session and I played that for Luke. Luke and me were working. We might've been working on, I can't remember what song it was at the time, but I told Bill, I says, "You got to hear this guitar player, this Robert guy." I said, "Man, amazing." So he played it. I played it for Luke, and Luke says, "Hey, let's put some drums and some bass to it." So we put some drums and bass to it, and then I sent it to Robert, and I said, "Hey, Robert, what do you think?" And he just loved it, and I said, "Oh, cool." Thank you.
me ask you a question about writing tunes. When you're writing tunes, what do you when you have an idea for a tune, is there a set kind of a thing that you go through? I don't want to say, well, I mean, ritual is a word that comes to mind, but a sequence of events, ritual is not the word I'm looking for.
Well, yeah, there is a word you're looking for. It's actually the first word I say when I'm writing a tune, and it's called help.
So there it is. There's a big songwriting secret. Ask for help.
Exactly. Sometimes I'll have an idea and then I'll put it together a little bit and then I'll get Bill in. Sometimes I go, Bill, look, I've written this or I've done this, and Bill will look at it and then he'll do his little magic or say, that won't work, or you should go to here and go to, you know. So it's always, sometimes Christopher Tate comes in and I tell Christopher, look at this mess. Help me straighten that out.
And if he doesn't pass out or just throw his hands up in the air and leave, you probably have something.
Totally. Christopher is the ultimate little studio guy, because Christopher can play keys, he can play guitar, he can play bass, he can play harmonica really well. He's like, Chris can sing, Chris can write. He's the all-around little studio. So he's been with me for a year now, coming in and helping me straighten my messes out. And then sometimes Bill will come in and say, you know what, instead of going, you know, you're going to the F here, we should go to, you know, let's raise it up and bring it, you know, or we'll change it, or I'll give it to Bill and he'll take and rewrite it, or, you know, or the same with Mac, you know, we do the same thing. I'll send something to Mac and Mac will say, hey, Kev, I like that, but why don't we try this? And then he'll send me another version. And same with Joseph too. And me and Joseph, when I first started with Joseph, it was kind of funny because Joseph sent me this track and here, Kev, try putting drums to it. And I spent like 4 days putting drums to it. And then I sent it to him and he goes, thanks, I'll talk to you later. go ahead and keep practicing, you know. Yeah. Because he was right. I wasn't kind of ready for, you know, because I listened to the track that he programmed and mm-hmm. he's such a good programmer. I said, I can't even drum that good.
Yeah.
As good as your programming, you know, I can't. So it was a real learning curve for me trying to do, and then to play so many different styles at the same time, but it's fun. But I usually do pick the same people when I'm writing all the time as mainly, and then the odd person comes in, you know, but, it's basically there's about 10 or 15 people that I use.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Martha Does is one that you did with,
yeah. See, Joseph wrote that is, a famous song from the island that Joseph comes from. It's a type of music. And there was a band back, I think 25 years ago, that was the band. And Joseph wanted me to put some drums. We put a different spin on it than the band that originally did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joseph sent it to me, and I just laid down some drums for him and then sent it back to Joseph. And he liked it. So he said, that's good.
Cool.
So that's a really cool song.
She comes, she smiles at everyone, the sun shines from her. Seems so sweet, and she loves no one. Yes, she loves just one, and she loves no one but me. But me. We'll be right back.
Well, they don't know what the internet means. Where does the internet come from? What is it?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been kind of grew up with it for the last 20 years now.
Yeah.
Because back in the day when I was playing, you know, we didn't have internet back then, and we didn't have the things to learn. I mean, the only way I learned songs was by hearing a 45 over and over and over and going back and how did he drum that? And then try and imitate him drumming and then listen to it and then try it on my knees or try whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have it back then. We didn't. Nowadays, kids can draw right up on YouTube and, oh, that's how Eddie played that. I can see how his fingers are and now he's using his little finger to go here. Well, back in the day, we didn't have that, right? We had to guess.
Yeah, and if you needed to slow the thing down to hear better what was going on, you had to change it from 45 to 33, and it didn't sound the same.
No.
And they got this stuff now with digital that you can slow it down, and it still sounds the same, just slower.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
You know, I don't really quantize any of mine. I haven't really got into quantizing. I'm trying to leave the real feel in, you know, it's every song that I play, I try to, that's me drumming. I don't try and, you know, fake it or I'm not, you know, it's me playing because I always look at it. If I got to play it, someone might ask me to play it live and I go, I can't play that live. Well, didn't you drum that? Well, sort of.
Sort of.
You know, so, yeah. You know, I mean, you do need looping. Looping isn't essential now for people learning because if you're not a drummer, it's nice to be able to learn how to, you know, write with a drum kit so that you can play along and have fun, right? Yeah. And then you can really try and make whatever your, you know, piece of art that you're trying to create, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, because nowadays I don't think there's really blues anymore. I don't think there's rock anymore. I don't think there's country. I think there's a product with a name. And if you like that product and you recognize the name, you're going to buy that product. Because it's so crossed over now, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, country music used to be pretty easy to define.
Yeah.
And without any argument from anybody about whether or not it was country, I mean, it's all in the ear of the beholder, listener, I think. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I have a hard time with genres, but you could tell something was blues and there was this big difference. And then everything started melding together, and country music particularly anymore is and some people think it's a good thing and some people liked it better the other way, but nonetheless it's not the same as it used to be. Country music is more what middle of the road music used to be on AM radio channels a long time ago.
I'm kind of responsible for some of that too, because we had a band back in the day. Well, after I finished with Buddy Knox and the Party Dolls, after a tour I come back to Canada, and it's a long story, but we ended up with a band, Kid Country, actually it was a Silver Mountain band. We were called the country metal band because what happened in Canada here, the rock and country bars were beside each other. So the rock room would be like down the hallway, and then the country room would be on the other end of the building, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we used to go over and watch rock bands. They have big PAs, you know, with smoke bombs and that. So we thought, we're going to be the first country band. We're going to get smoke bombs and mirror balls, and we're going to get a big PA, and we did, and we were called the country metal band, you know. And then, and we did, we had smoke bombs going off, we had this thing called triple guitar boogie, and we were huge.
Yeah.
And then Kid Country, we just took right off, and I was with a band I think 12 years before I retired, and I moved to Nanaimo now. But we basically went from a small country band, well, we're not, you know what I mean, playing kind of more, we learned our stuff with Merle Haggard and the boys. But when we went to country metal, we got really aggressive country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the crowd started coming in and go, wow, here's this band, they got a sound man, they got a huge PA, they got spotlights, they got all this. Where did these guys come from? Well, actually, it's been around forever, but it was at the other end of the building. But our country crowd had never seen that before.
There's another one I want to ask you about specifically. Well, actually, I hope to ask you about all of them specifically before we hang up. But it's such a cool blues tune to me. Kick Me.
When I'm Down?
Yeah, Kick Me When I'm Down. You and Mac and Ked and Limey Luke and...
Yeah, that was there. You know, I first wrote that one as an instrumental, and I was putting the drums, and there's quite a few drums. I think I put 3 sets of drums on that one.
Wow.
There's quite a bit there. There's a lot more than you think, you know, and I wrote that one, and then got in, got Luke to come in, put some guitar, and then I sent it to Ked and asked him if he could put some lead blues on it for me, and he did. Ked did an awesome job, and then I sent it to Mac, and I said, Mac, and what do you think? Mac, he sent it back to the next night with vocals and everything else. He's, what do you think, bud? And I go on, well, let's not change a thing. Let's just say.
Say I got a lot of talent. And find a way to make it worse. Slamming doors I don't care for the sound. I can always find somebody kick me when I'm down. Now, if I don't get blindsided, a day is not complete. At least I chapter and verse. Just keep your keys in your pocket, boy, 'cause it ain't time to warm up that purse. You don't have to look very far. Someone
that was my first one with what's his name here?
Roland.
Yes.
Incarnate Word.
Yes, and it was funny. He did write drums to that song, and then when he sent it back to me, he says, "What do you think?" And I said, "Just kind of leave the drums there in some sections, and then let me, I'll interweave with the drums that you've written." And he said, "What?" He goes, I said, "Yeah, just send it to me." So then he sent it to me, and then when I sent back, he goes, "Perfect, let's leave it."
Cool.
But there, actually, I think in that song there, we did four set drums there. I did the main kit, and I did another kit with percussion, and then I did another kit. There actually there's three kits, and I did, it's one that's called a Halloween kit.
Mm-hmm.
It does all these kind of Halloween sounds, so the spooky and the thing, and I drummed over top of it. So I actually drummed that one with three sets of drums and then with his keyboard. So it was a pretty cool song.
Cool.
That's my favorite song, actually. One of my favorites.
We'll be right back.
be said for, you know, the word just slipped my mind, digital and analog. Analog. That, there's a lot that, to be said for analog.
And I usually play in real time all the time. Like, I usually maybe lay down the drums to a click track, or I'll, or Bill will lay down something, and then, but if Bill lays down his guitar rhythm into a click track, I'll just play to the rhythm guitar. I won't use the click track. Unless Bill wants me to, he really, unless it's really intricate or something, yeah. It's easy to play to a click or without a click. But I find when you play, like this song that we're, the song that Joseph and Farrell just wrote, this Lucky Day, that when I send it to David, David says, what speed is this at? You know, what do I set my thing? And I said, David, it's in real time. And so David, he played in real time. And then, you know, David emailed me back and he said, you know what? You know, you play with more feel when you don't play with a click and you're playing in real time. And I go, exactly.
Yeah.
Play with more. You know, when a click, you can get pretty staccato-ish, you know what I mean? Pretty set. Here's four bars. Here's a half bar. Here's a four bar, you know.
Yeah.
Where playing with a real drummer, I might decide to do whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what? It's kind of cool, too, though, that drums have progressed. Like, I do program drums, too. And, you know, for a guitar player, it's better for him to have something to play to, like, so he can program his own drums and play to it. But... it's really hard to think like a drummer if you're a guitar player.
Yeah. Yeah. I can dig that.
I have to get back.
1, 2, 3, 4.
The sun has come today. It's time to turn the page. I look for another way. Oh, nothing left to say. I don't need you anymore. Still not sure what's in store. I know there's plenty more through that open door. Oh, no more heated fights. No more sleepless nights. No more cheating ways. It's my lucky day. No lying explanation. Gambler's born down when you're out running around. Gonna pack my bags today in Louisiana way. If you don't like what I say, oh babe, that's okay. No more heated fights. No more sleepless nights. No more cheating ways. It's my lucky day. No more heated fights, oh, no more sleepless nights, no more cheating ways.
Like to you know thank everybody that's you know that's been on exposure over the years and has supported it, and Dave's and Wild Cherry and Saturated and all our friends, Mac. And it's just, I've met a ton of great people on Mixposure. And that's why I'm always on kind of in Mixposure. I try to drop in the chat room as much as possible. I'm always sometimes in the chat room, but I'm also in the studio too, working on things. I try and spend my time as much as time as I can, alternating between five different things, but you know, but I'm just having fun too. And I'm really glad that, you know, a lot of people in Mixposure, I think the bar has been raised a lot, you know, like there's a lot of stuff out there, and for you to be, you know, someone to recognize you on top of stuff that's already out there. Some of it's good. Some of it, you know, is, you know, art of some sort.
Uh-huh.
But to be recognized and just, you know, people appreciate it and saying hi to you, that to me, it means the world to me. So, you know.
Yeah.
And that, me, it's all about. And learning to write with each other, something, because it's not easy. You know, it's not easy being a writer. Anyone can play in a cover band, you know, because it's already kind of done for you. You just have to learn what that other person did and put your own spin onto it. And I think we can all master that pretty good. You know, but it's tougher to start right from scratch and put something together, you know.
But it's a lot more rewarding, don't you think?
Totally rewarding, you know. Yeah. And good or bad, you know, you throw something at the dartboard and, you know, that was good. Or next one you throw, maybe that one's better, maybe it's worse. People have a tendency to decide what's good and bad. So I just like to do is just put it out there and then hopefully somebody likes it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Have been listening to the Mix Files, and we appreciate that you have. Our guest this week has been Bud Drumming and some of his buddies. Yowza! The Mix Files premieres an interview with a different Mixposure.com artist each week, and it airs during the Saturday Night Rocks radio program here on Mixposure.com's Mixstream Radio. We appreciate that you have been listening in. We appreciate those who have joined us in chat. Hope to see you again next time. Until then, I'm Cooter. See you later. We'll be right back.
Scooter, for having me, and I hope you enjoy the show tonight. I think you play some songs. I love it when you play other artists' songs that have been collabing. I love it when the collabs are played. So
I do too.
That's the coolest thing, because it keeps regenerating music amongst us at Mixposure and, you know, other sites. I think it's awesome.
The Mix Files, number 22.